Welcome to the Alcohol Rethink Podcast, the podcast for men who are ready to rethink the role of alcohol in their lives for good. With shared experiences, concepts, tools and coaching, get ready to radically change how you think about alcohol and stop drinking for good. I'm your host, Patrick Fox. Let's go. Hi guys, and welcome to episode number 144 of the Alcohol Rethink Podcast. Awesome to be back with you fellas. And today I am really, really pleased to have on a gentleman that I have just finished working with not too long ago. And I thought I'd really love to get him on and share his journey today, because it just kind of, for me, it symbolizes everything that I'm trying to do here with the Alcohol Rethink Project, and especially this guy's journey. And there was a time where he showed up in his van and it was like 100 degrees and he was sweating his box off. And I thought, this guy's committed. He knows what he wants right here. And I'm really pleased to have you on the show, Adam. Welcome, dude.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, really well. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming on and be willing to share your journey, mate, because I think it's a powerful one that people are going to resonate with, take a lot from.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, nice, dude. All right, cool. Well, let's just get stuck into it, right? What led you to, actually not even what led you, but what was your alcohol what has your alcohol rethink journey been like? What was your kind of drinking looking like up until before we spoke?
I mean, it started with college. And so, I mean, starting out when I was young, alcohol was never on my radar. I saw my family doing it. I saw my peers doing it. And alcohol was just something that I told myself, no, I don't want to, get involved with. I know my personality. I know my addicted behavior and all that stuff. And so I made that decision when I was young, but then college hit and alcohol was introduced. And, and it started with the normal fun, beer here, go out on Fridays, all the normal stuff that's socially acceptable for most. And then, fast forward a little bit, graduate college, get into the working life. And it stayed pretty similar to that, where it was, go out on the weekends, have drinks with buddies, on certain occasions, have a few with, Christmas dinner or whatever it was, on occasions. And then it seemed as time progressed, and I couldn't pinpoint, when, where, what happened, but as time progressed through my working life, it became personally acceptable to have, a beer every day, a couple beers at night to work off the day to, and then it led to a six pack night, and then it led to, well, I need a beer before work. Well, man, I need to take the edge off here, there. And then it just felt like the progression just wouldn't stop almost. And so in my early 30s, probably late 20s, early 30s, it got to where it was almost like I couldn't go, my mind was wrapped around alcohol. It was, my decision-making process was surrounded by alcohol. My thought process was derived around alcohol. And so, I felt like to get out of bed, needed a beer, to go to bed, needed a beer, to get through the day, and so, all of those things. And so finally got to a point where I realized a couple years ago, maybe, a year to 2 years ago, where in my mind, I was telling myself, I need to get this under control. I need, something needs to change. Cause I know, and it got to a point where I was hiding it from my wife. I was hiding it from my friends. And so I knew there was something in my body was telling me that there was something wrong, but my brain wouldn't allow a change.
Yeah.
And so, people had, my family, my in-laws, my wife, they've all mentioned things, but I chalked it up as, oh, they're just telling me what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. And, I can be stubborn that way. and then finally my brother-in-law, who introduced me to your website, he approached me in such a way that didn't feel aggressive. It didn't feel pushy or anything like that. It just felt like genuine concern. Like he was almost reaching, almost like an angel that was just reaching out and saying, like, hey, buddy, I know you're going through something. You know, here's an option. Check it out. And then that was that light that I needed to, you know, get on the right path. And, you know, and like you said, I showed up in my truck on a 105 degree day.
Yeah.
Didn't want to turn on the AC because I don't know if my truck would last long enough. So I was just sweating it out, trying to act all cool through the initial consultation. But yeah, and then ever since our first couple weeks, something just clicked. I realized that the commitment needed to be made and never looked back.
Yeah, and that's a good point because when we first had that consult in the height of the summer for you, and you were like sweating buckets, you originally, if I recall, had it wasn't a case of wanting to give up drinking, was it, at that point?
No, not at all. In my mind, I had gone so far down the hole that I was drinking every day. In my mind, I just wanted to be able to maybe have a beer with dinner, be able to go out on the weekends with my friends. You know, if there was a party, I could go to it, have a few drinks, and not have to worry about it. And so that was my initial goal, was just cut back
Yeah.
essentially, you know, get it under, quote unquote, under control. And so, but then it was like, I don't know what day it would have been, but after so many days, I just started feeling so good. It was like, you know, waking up, sleep started changing. My habits around, you know, physical health and wellness started changing, all the good things. And it was just, I couldn't see a life without feeling this good.
Nice. And I would offer, mate, like those things didn't just change, right? Like you created them. One, the sleep got better because you removed the alcohol. We know a lot about how alcohol disrupts sleep and the myth that it does help you sleep. But like those new habits, those were things that you started bringing into your own life. So let's come back to that because I think there's some really good talking points there. But I want to talk about some of the stuff that was coming up earlier, right? Because I know for college, in the States and you know in Europe and probably many other places in the world, like there's such a high expectation of just going out and getting wasted, basically.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, it was almost a rite of passage in college. And I mean, the funniest part about all of that was, so come college, I had in my mind, like, you know, I don't want to be the partier. I was there for school. I was there to get my degree, you know, work through it. I had to work full time during college. You know, I was going to be that standout citizen that was, you know, went to college full time, worked full time, paid for all everything and all that. Well, so went to my first college party with my buddy Curtis that introduced me to you. And at the time, I mean, we grew up a little bit together. Went to school when we were in middle school, I think, and then kind of reconnected in college. And so he was playing beer pong. He's like, "Yeah, let's just, you know, play a couple games." And he's just like, "Yeah, just have a beer," you know. So it started with that beer that night. And then it was, okay, this is fun. We can do this. And so, you know, go out on the weekends, play beer pong with my buddies, got good at it. And it was so everything from there was just fun. Alcohol was just the fun loving, you know, everyone did it. You know, you went to school all week and then partied all weekend. And it is very much the social atmosphere that we adapt ourselves to. And if you don't do that, then you're the nerd sitting in the corner that no one likes.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, it's either be socially accepted or, you know, be strong enough to not need to be.
Yeah, socially rejected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so fascinating, isn't it? So like going through that college era, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, but there is that kind of expectancy or pressure to drink, to conform, if you like. But also, as you just shared, you started creating these beliefs about what alcohol was and what it was doing for you. So, like, alcohol was fun. Like, what were some of the other things that you started believing at that age when you first started drinking and getting involved?
It was, yeah, and it was very much around the belief system that it was, at that point, it was all about the entertainment. If you went to a football game, you had to pregame at the tailgate, and then you had to go in and get a beer, and then you had to leave at halftime to get a six pack. And so it was just, it's what everyone was doing. And so, it's so funny that we say, if your best friend was jumping off a cliff, would you follow? Well, most of us probably would. It's a cliff seems a little bit more dire, but most of us do. Our friends are doing something, so we're gonna follow suit. And so, but yeah, it was and then as time progressed, it became more less fun and more necessary. Oh man, I just had a really long day. I just need to take the edge off. Or I'm really tired and I can't go to sleep. So, I'll just have a couple beers. It'll help me pass out. And so, and then those belief systems started to solidify over time. And then it came to, then I had kids in my mid-20s. So then it was, man, the kids are stressing me out. I need a beer. And then it became, and then I got into management and ownership in my later 20s and early 30s. So then it became, man, my job is just so stressful. How am I gonna get, deal with all this pressure? Well, I'll just drink. It'll be fine. And I think even beyond all that, and I think we've talked about this, is I'm very against abating symptoms in the sense of like Tylenol. I never taken Sudafed things for like pain and illness and things like that. I've always been against stopping my body from just naturally healing itself. And so, but it's so funny to think of that's all I was doing with alcohol. If I got a headache, oh, I'll just have a few beers, it'll go away. If, my back started hurting, I'll just drink until I feel the buzz and I won't feel it anymore. And so, I had this one belief on one side that was telling me, drugs are bad, don't take Tylenol, don't take anything that you can put in your mouth while I'm drinking a six pack to make the pain go away.
Yeah,
And
but it
so.
was like an unconscious decision, isn't it? Like you had you even associated that that's what alcohol was, like a drug to mask symptoms?
Not at all. Not at the time. Now it's easy to see. Looking back, there was so many times where I remember even this one instance. I think one of my first migraines that I remember having in my mid-20s. I remember it coming on, and just it was white light. My stomach started turning. I threw up. Got a severe headache, and I was laying in bed, just like, man, how am I gonna get through this day? And I just went to the fridge and grabbed a beer. And then I was able to, at least move around and get a couple things done. So then, sure enough, the next time I even felt the migraine coming on, I would grab a few beers and chug them, and then I would be okay to survive through it. And so it was like at the time, it was just human instinct to avoid the pain. But now looking back, it was easily noticeable as just taking a drug to make the pain go away.
Yeah, but it's so fascinating, isn't it? The your brain went to, all right, I've got a headache, I'm gonna have a beer. And then because the beer worked, your brain creates this association, this rule of like, okay, so if that happens again, then we know that we can do this to get rid of the headache, right? And but even like the word, the language you use, right? You're like the word survive is like your brain now misinterprets alcohol as being important to help you with things in your life. And we saw that, right? It became very functional. You, in fact, dependent on it in terms of going to sleep or dealing with stress or having fun or even in the end, getting started with the day, right? It's like, I just have a beer to take the edge off.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that's where it got so far down the hole in the sense of like it's and I sent you that song by Justin Moore, Why We Drink.
Oh
And
yeah, that's
I
ridiculous.
think yeah, thinking back, it was so true for me because it was like I throughout my life, alcohol just slowly worked its way into having a reason for every detail of my life. I'm going to breakfast. Oh, well, I gotta have a beer with breakfast. I'm going to lunch, have a beer. Oh, you're in pain, have a beer. Oh, you're celebrating a kid's birthday, get a six pack. And so it just like it almost snuck its way into my every belief system that, alcohol is the way of the world, or way of my world, anyways. It was so hard to realize I think it was hard to realize for me just because I was going to work 50 to 60 hours a week. I was doing some working out. I'd at least get on the bike a couple times a week. They say work out at least 3 days a week. Well, I was doing that. Eat healthy. I was still eating pretty healthy. I didn't eat a lot of sugar, cut out a lot of the carbs and, all the normal healthy eating habits that I implemented into my life. So on the surface level, it would be like, oh yeah, everything's great. Alcohol's not affecting my well-being or my way of living. But you dig into it, and it was like it was in there as every decision-making process that I was making.
And I remember you saying actually during our coaching is it was almost like you wanted to make things hard for yourself,
I
right?
did. I like to make things challenging much too often, but and then it did almost become a game at points where, like, my wife would be like, man, we really need to cut back on your drinking. And I would almost take it as a challenge of like, okay, well, what can I get away with? Okay, if she doesn't know I'm drinking, then I'm not actually drinking. And so it, like, I made up this game in my head, and I think at the time it was completely unconscious, but it was a rebellion in a sense where, if you're going to tell me what to do, I'm going to do the opposite. And it's frustrating to say out loud now and to think back, but at the time it was just what was my brain was telling me.
And I think that's it's all part of the journey, isn't it? The process of like understanding that part of yourself, the rebellious part who's like, well, you can't tell me what to do, right? That was the thought that you had about it. And then so unconsciously you turned it into a game and this idea that you're getting away with it. And it's something I hear quite often in coaching and I experience it myself is they we do something in secret, right? Like whether it's secret drinking or drugs or whatever. As if we're getting away with something. Like we're not getting away with anything, man. Like, 'cause the one person who knows still is the most important person, arguably, and it's us, right? And we know full well what we're doing, but we just deceive ourselves and justify and rationalize it and go, oh, well, I'm still exercising, I'm still eating healthy, so I've still got my job. Must be all right.
Yeah. No, and I mean, even saying that, eating healthy was the one thing that I consciously did, because we would make jokes because I'd be the guy that went out to dinner with everyone and everyone's ordering like a big old steak or having the pork chops or, some fatty meal, and I'd have a salad and then a big old beer, and I'd say out loud, oh yeah, I gotta eat a salad so I can drink my beer. And I'm like thinking back, I'm like, how insane is that to like you'd rather sacrifice your mental and, other health than just having some good food. So, but that's the belief system that I created, and I'm glad that I was able to pull myself out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? There'll be people listening to this and they'll hear their own belief systems as well. I went on a stag do bucks party, no, bachelor party recently. I'm trying to get for different parts of the world. And I went in and it's all in good vein, but really it's deceptive. It's like having a Guinness at 5 in the morning and go, oh yeah, but it's full of vitamins, right? Like we joke about it because we want to make ourselves feel better about what we're doing. But I think we truly know that it probably wasn't that great.
Yeah. No, and it's funny too, because I just saw a commercial the other day. I've been paying closer attention, and that, I mean, the awareness is tenfold what it ever has been, both seeing it and just within myself. But saw this commercial for I can't even remember the beer company, but it said like, oh yeah, make sure you're having your beer a day. It's full of antioxidants that are good for the health and good for the heart. And I just shook my head and laughed. I was just like, I mean, you It might be true. There might be some form of nutrients within the beer that can have benefits, but the negativity and the downside of all of it far outweighs any benefit that it'll bring on.
And so, were there any elements that you were beginning to notice where it was problematic? So, you noticed that you kind of think about it a lot. you were hearing a lot of outside voices telling you about your drinking, which made you perhaps start reflecting on what was going on. But like, besides that, was there anything for you that you were like, yeah, like maybe this is a bit more to it than I perhaps thought?
I mean, physical appearance was definitely one, because I mean, I think I got in really good shape right after college when it was, you know, I was only having a few drinks here or there. It was parties more than a daily occurrence, and I was in pretty good shape. And I saw a picture of myself a couple years or so. The picture was from back in my early 20s, but then I looked at it not too long ago, and before we started our journey, and I was just like, man, did I seriously used to look like that? And like, I was pleased with it. I was just like, man, I, you know, I was fit. I was, you know, you could see my abs. I knew I felt good there, cause I was at the beach running around with my son. And so it was one of those, like, my physical appearance just shot my confidence, and I could feel it walking around. Like, I didn't walk with my chest up. My head was down all the time. It was, you know, so there was just so many things that I forgot that I used to embody and feel when I was in good shape and in physical appearance. And then I looked in the mirror and was just like, that's not me anymore. Like, I don't have the drive to even care like I used to. And that definitely gave me a bit, you know, not that I never stress on physical appearance, but it definitely plays a role in our natural confidence and, you know, ability to how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like in our first session that we did together, and I do with all the guys, like, we work on values. And I would say like 95% of the time that I do that exercise, like, health is up there in the top eight of our values, right? And when you look at it, like, it is so important, because our health is life, essentially, right? Like, without health, we've not got much of a life. So it's really, really important. But alcohol just, you know, you might feel like you're getting away with it in the beginning, and perhaps you are to a degree, but really, actually, you're not. I don't even know why I'm saying that. You're not getting away with it, because it's going to catch up with you eventually.
Yeah, no, and it definitely did. And it's so entertaining to think of, you know, all the things you hear around health and fitness. While, you know, it takes so long to, you know, get your body in shape and get healthy and all this stuff. But thinking back, I'm like, it took me 10 plus years of the bad decision of, you know, letting alcohol fulfill my life. It took 10 years to get out of that, you know, ideal health that I was in. And it's only taken me 6 months to get back to there.
Yeah.
So, nice. I mean, the scale of time is, you know, crazy to me to think that, you know, cause I was big on patience at the beginning of our sessions. Cause I, you know, I stopped drinking for a week, and it was like, man, I don't see any change. 2 weeks. I'm all like, oh, well, yeah, what's going on? And so, you know, and it's like, I got impatient at times, but then looking at the overall scale, I'm like, it took me a decade to ruin my health, and it only took me 6 months to get it back, and probably tenfold better at this point.
Yeah. Not only get your health back, but completely rewire your brain in terms of how you perceived alcohol and yourself to a degree as well.
Yeah. No, and I mean the brain aspect
of 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. The brain aspect of it, and the awareness, and, you know, the everything surrounding that is probably where the tenfold comes in, is because, I mean, I feel physically amazing, but my mind is just so much more developed now. And so, and there's times where, you know, I can easily look back and say, man, I wish I never went through all of that. But, and I think we had a discussion about it. I'm almost glad that I put myself through it, because now I think I'm even stronger moving forward, knowing that I never want to go back to that place.
Yeah, definitely, man. It like builds up that inner resilience. And there's a lot of strengths to be found from rethinking alcohol, you know. And it's very natural for our brain, hindsight, right? That our brain will look back and go, oh, well, have I done this, that, and the other differently? Like, life could have been so different. And like, all that does is end up creating a lot of unnecessary suffering. But when we can look at it and go, okay, so what if this was supposed to happen like this, right? And who have I become as a result of going through that experience, no matter all the bullshit that happened along the way? Really, really, yeah, there's a lot to be learned and said for that. So let's come back to some of those habits, right? So you then reached out to me. We started working together. You originally were in the mindset of like, oh, I want to moderate or just control drinking or whatever. And then you said something switched. So let's go back to that for a moment. Like, what do you think switched, man? Because I think it's such an important thing to be aware of for anyone listening.
I mean, I think the major thing that switched for me was just my relationship with my family. It was, and my mother-in-law told me one day we were, because probably after, I want to say about 3 weeks, maybe a month into it, she made a comment. She's just like, yeah, I can just tell like you and Lauren are, and Lauren, my wife, your relationship is just different. And I mean, in a good way. And then I like sat down and I thought about it for a while, and it was like, it didn't seem different on the day to day, but just the way I came home from work, the way we interacted around the kids, the way I interacted with the kids, it was just like, I never wanted alcohol to influence my interactions with them. You know, as much fun as, you know, a beer with the guys sounded, it would lead to, you know, maybe another beer or maybe another night of drinking or whatever it was. And I just never wanted alcohol to influence how I interacted with my family.
Well, so what was different then? Like, what did you notice how you were interacting differently with them?
The main thing was the acknowledgement, I guess, awareness around how I was feeling. So it's crazy to think that the feelings were still there. The frustration of the kids yelling at each other, you know, my wife told me to do something that I didn't want to do and I was annoyed about it, or, you know, so all those feelings and frustrations
day-to-day
were still
stuff.
There. Yeah. And they're all there, but instead of allowing alcohol to influence or exacerbate them, it was just like, okay, they're here. Let's process it. Let's get through it. And now let's figure out how to deal with it. And so it was so much more communicative. It was, you know, I was able to talk things through both with myself and with my spouse. I was able to be a little bit more understanding on the kids' side of it, of, you know, okay, they're just being kids sometimes. So how, not that you need to just let them get away with everything, but okay, how do we, you know, go about this in a way that's going to both benefit them and calm me down? And so, yeah, it was just so much more awareness around the emotions, feelings, all of it.
Yeah. I remember as well that you mentioned earlier about how other people were telling you what to do, and it felt like there was a defining moment in the journey as well where you took full responsibility for yourself. It was like, actually, no, this is what I want now.
Yeah, very much. And it was because I think in the beginning it still felt like I was doing it for someone else. I was I was doing it for my in-laws because they needed a better manager at work. I was doing it for my wife because she needed a better husband, or my kids needed a better father. And all those, so like in my mind, I was still playing that game of I'm doing it for other people. And that has a strong ability to push people in the right direction. But it definitely got to a point when, and I think for myself, it changed when I started waking up every day, being able to tackle the world. When I started being able to, you know, I could walk around just with my head held high, you know, being able to solve any problem without blinking an eye. And I just noticed these little incremental changes throughout each day. I was like, man, I love this. I love this feeling. And I never want it to go away. And so, and I think I even explained to you that moment in the car that I had, that it was the first time I posted about my journey on Instagram. And I think it was just after 100 days, and I was, you know, a little skeptical about sharing anything because I've always been kind of reserved on putting myself out there. And so, but we talked about it, and I finally sent the post, and I just got such an overwhelming positive response with both people saying, hey, proud of you, you know, good job. People confided in me saying like, oh yeah, we stopped drinking too, and it's been amazing. You know, let's get together, and all these just overwhelming responses. And it just gave me this natural feeling. And now doing more reading and stuff, I'm guessing it was just an abundance of serotonin and oxytocin, because it just felt like a euphoric high that like I couldn't even explain.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Just being vulnerable, being willing to be vulnerable, and like sharing that with the world. And your vulnerability opened up everybody else to share what was going on for them as well, and like whether they were proud or whether they were going through something similar as well. And it, you know, like this is what it requires. Like when we can open up to these conversations and in ourselves and with others, we see we all kind of want the same thing a lot of the time, right? Like we're all struggling in our own different ways. And when we can talk more about it, we can feel more normalized, right? Rather than thinking that we have to drink our way through everything.
Yeah, very much. And just having that camaraderie about it is, you know, it's crazy to think that we all, and it all comes down to the belief system that we're all told, you know, you got to toughen up, you got to deal with it on your own, and all those things that we grow up with. But, you know, and there's a level of, you know, yeah, you do want to be tough, but there's different ways to be tough.
Nice. So what were some of the elements of the coaching that you found particularly helpful as you rewired your brain to stop drinking?
Mostly just around the awareness, the acknowledgments, the, you know, understanding why I was thinking a certain way, you know, whether it be around a belief system or, you know, because it's so many aspects of our lives we don't think about. It's completely unconscious. And I think opening up my mind to truly thinking about my thoughts, that was probably the biggest, you know, and that sounds so redundant and abstract, but it definitely gave me insight to how I was thinking and why I was thinking more than just acting on them.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's awareness, right? Like a fish doesn't know it's in a bowl. So we have to you have to be able to look from the outside in, and that's such a key part of this journey, because otherwise we just accept everything that our brain is offering as true. And like you mentioned earlier about like your alcohol education, like how what you learned as you kind of went through your younger years and then latterly, and the beliefs that you picked up along the way, like some of that stuff just can go so unquestioned for so many years. And then it makes sense that people are resistant to want to stop drinking, especially when you couple in the fact that alcohol is a drug and like the effect that it has on your brain and stuff like that. So yeah, awareness is such a massive part of this journey.
Yeah.
And so what's different for you now, right? So you've, you know, radically changed your brain, like alcohol's not a thing anymore, because we kind of got to that place relatively quickly within the coaching journey, right? Like you once you'd made that decision after a couple of weeks, like that was it, you were off, like that commitment level was 100%. And then so what else was helpful for you as we went beyond that?
Yeah, I feel like my journey was definitely more, or ended up being more geared towards almost like a lifestyle change. And maybe not even lifestyle change, but just enhancement, I should say, because it definitely went from, and I think it started with alcohol, which was almost like just a catalyst for holding me back. It was almost like I was trying to run in one direction and there was just a band holding me there. And then as soon as I released that band, I was just off and running. And so it definitely led to being able to, you know, enhance my ability on my leadership role at work. And I, you know, I started reading leadership book after leadership book. I think I'm already like 4 or 5 books in for that. I know we talked about the psychology of money, which that was helpful to open up my brain on both managing money, how I think about money. And so it just led to so many other aspects of my life that I didn't even think were not a problem, but just things that were like wearing on my day-to-day thought process. And, you know, so I was, you know, I didn't realize I was worried about money until we talked about it. And I was like, well, you know, I'm worried about it, but maybe I don't need to be. And so then I, you know, dove into that, got some reading done, research, and now I feel way better about it. You know, I'm more comfortable with both how I think and how I act about it. And then leadership has definitely been probably the biggest transformation, other than alcohol, just because I definitely feel more confident, when I'm at work with my team, with my, you know, with the employees, with my, in-laws who are the owners of the restaurant that I, run. And I'm just more confident with my decision-making, with, the decisions I make to go towards leadership, all of it. So yeah, it's definitely enhanced all of those aspects of my life.
Yeah, man. Few changes going on there. And it's interesting, you know, like saying you weren't aware about the money thing, and it's when you go into supermarkets and stuff, like there's music playing in the background, but you're like, you just don't pay any attention to it, right? But it's still there. And so that's what I love about coaching, is like these things are still in our mind, but we've just stopped paying attention to them because we're just so used to it. It's like a low level noise. And so with coaching, like we've got to focus on that. And you know, did some amazing stuff with it, going into leadership and money, and even going into coaching for softball as well.
Yeah, so we're just about to start. I got my first team meeting tonight with my
oh, no
little
way,
leader.
Wicked.
Yeah, bunch of 8 and 9 year olds. It's gonna be so fun. I'm excited for this year. I feel so much more direct and focused on my coaching plan. You know, I've been doing the research on it. I just feel more involved in it, in my brain.
Yeah. Like we're a podcast, right? But I've got Adam here on video, and the smile on his face as he was sharing about softball tonight, like it was infectious. It was really, really cool, man. I can see it means a lot to you.
Yeah, it does. And it's, I mean, my oldest, he's 8, and so he's the team I'm coaching, and he's been out throwing pitches every day, practicing on his hitting. So he's just as excited as I am. I can feel, and that's one of the benefits of this journey, is he's feeding off my energy. You know, it used to be he'd walk around and be like, yeah, I guess we'll do that. I guess we'll do this. And now it's like, yeah, let's go. Yeah, man. You know, so it's so much that my kids are feeding off the positivity and the, you know, excess energy that is within me.
Yeah, man. Like that enthusiasm for life and doing different things, right? Not just being constantly driven about when the next beer is going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, because one of the other things I know that we coached on was finding other things to do, right? Because when you stop drinking, you find out that you've actually got a lot more time on your hands. So maybe what were some of the things that you kind of like got stuck into as well?
Reading has been a huge one. I mean, I don't think I've read a book before our journey, probably in a decade since I was drinking heavily. And so, but since then, I've already read 6 or 7 books. So that's been a big one, and that's eye-opening in and of itself. But then I realized the other day, I'm such a productively driven person. Like I want to take on a project, get it done, you know, and feel good about it. That's kind of what's always given me my dopamine hit, is the productivity of something during the day. And so, since we finished our last session, I built a greenhouse for my wife, and we're going to start doing year-round gardening.
Oh, wow.
And I built a pitching mound for Cruz, for my oldest, so he can start practicing pitching more consistently. And so it's like, I realized that we make all these excuses when alcohol's involved in our life, of, oh man, I just don't have time today, and I'll get to it tomorrow, maybe next week. And I realized the time's there. It's just what we're doing with it. And it's like, time isn't the problem. It's, you know, the how we're treating it. And it was just blew my mind when I started looking. And when I was doing them, I didn't even think, you know, it was just, I had the time, did them, move on, next project. But then I look back over the last like month or so, and I'm just like, man, I would have never gotten these things done if alcohol was still around. I would have started a maybe, but then, you know, they would have got put on the back burner. Oh, it's too hard. Oh, or I'll cut a corner and it won't last. And so, yeah, it's, you know, the usefulness of my time has been amazing.
Some powerful thoughts right there. Also, like, you'd start the projects and then you wouldn't finish them. And then the girlfriend or the wife or the partner would say, oh, when are you going to finish that? And then you'd blow up and you go, oh, I've got any time. I got so stressful.
Yep. Like, and then go grab a beer to drink it.
Yeah,
off.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Yep.
Yeah. Ah, mate, Wicked. I've really enjoyed this interview, and I've really enjoyed working with you over the last 6-7 months as well, man. Like, it's incredible to see the way that you've made these changes for yourself and committed to what you want. Is there anything that you would like to offer to anyone listening today?
Biggest thing is, the fear is going to be there, but take that first step. I mean, I was so afraid of even getting on the consultation call, because it was admitting that something needed to change. It was taking that physical act of admitting to yourself, and I would never, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I sat in that truck in 105 degree weather.
Yeah, nice. All right, dude. As you may well know, I like to ask my guests a question. And that's, what does it mean to be radically human?
I did think about it a little bit, and I always came down to ownership of our life, taking being coming to the realization that we own our own life, in the sense of a lot of things happen, circumstances happen, life happens, and it's easy to point to all those external events and blame those things for what's going on. But realistically, it all comes down to us. We all have the decision to make a change, to do something different, to not be in a certain place at the, certain time. And when you can take that true ownership over all your own decisions, life truly opens up.
Yeah, beautiful man. Love that. All right. Well, Adam, thanks again for coming on the show, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. You've offered a ton of things that I think a lot of guys out there are going to resonate with. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice one. And thank you all for listening. I will see you again soon. Take care and bye bye. Stopping drinking can feel lonely. It doesn't have to be. If you're looking for accountability, motivation, and the tools to stop drinking, I can help you. Simply book a free consult with me today and I'll show you how. Link in the show notes. See you again soon. Bye for now.